For CertSecurity.com, I'm Rob Westerveld. You're listening to Security Wire Weekly for April 23rd, 2008. In this edition, we'll talk about virtualization security with a member of IBM's X-Force security research team. Also, the news, former LendingTree employees share their passwords, and a new hacking technique exploits a common programming error. Next, my interview on virtualization security, but first, this message.
More than 1,600 participants voted on this year's best security appliances, hardware, and software. See which products took home the gold, silver, and bronze medals in each of our 15 categories. Plus, see which emerging technologies and markets will make a big splash in the months to come. Get comprehensive product descriptions and expert analysis from the editors you trust. The 2008 Reader's Choice Awards. Make sure to check out searchsecurity.com/readerschoice. That's searchsecurity.com/readerschoice.
And we're back. IBM recently unveiled Project Phantom. It's an ongoing project designed to develop products and best practices to secure virtualized environments. In this interview, IBM's principal security strategist, Joshua Corman, explains how researchers there are helping to alleviate some of the risks associated with virtual environments. I met up with Corman to discuss Project Phantom at RSA Conference 2008. This is Rob Westerveld at RSA Conference 2008, and I'm here with Joshua Corman. He's principal strategist with the security and policy at ISS division of IBM. Well, let's talk a little bit about the announcement made about virtualization security. I mean, that seems to be the hot topic here at RSA Conference.
Yeah, I think it's turned out to be the top of the year. We're calling the initiative Project Phantom, and it's been going back for 2 years now. Project Phantom is an initiative across IBM to ensure that as we embrace this new platform and reap the benefits of virtualization, we do it securely. By default, use of virtualization will actually increase some of your security risk. So this is a cross-functional research project between our hardware platform development through the server series, through Watson Labs and their innovation, and through the X-Force threat research of ISS from a hacker's eye view or its hacker eye view to ensure that we understand how people will try to exploit these platforms.
It's really all about getting to the hypervisor at this point, and VMware is releasing its APIs under the VMSafe program. Is IBM a partner in that? Is it taking part in that program?
Yes, we're very involved in all of the virtualization platforms, so we've taken a hand in as a partner with VMware to help through their formation of the VMSafe APIs. And I like to elevate, it's about the hypervisor, but there are other attack surfaces as well. The specialized hardware used to enable and enhance virtualization is also a new type of attack surface. The management consoles for these virtual platforms, including VMware, is a very coveted attack surface, not simply the hypervisor. So there's a lot of media attention around hypervisor-based rootkits like Bluepill or Vitriol, and it's certainly of concern, but it's also a lucrative target to attack the infrastructure or the ambiguity of these virtual environments. And we see a lot of research in the underground community specifically doing that.
Of course, it's fair to say right now that most of these attack vectors are theoretical, right?
There's several proofs of concept, yes. But we know there's tremendous financial incentive to invest in penetrating these, and it's a high priority research target in the underground community. We also know that unlike the past where it was more about prestige, now that profit and politics are motivators, it's unlikely we'll know immediately when these are actually live and in the wild.
Virtualization, it's really just a piece of software. So obviously you're introducing complexities into your environment and a whole host of other things that goes along with it, patching issues. Why isn't security built into the VM, to the virtualization software in the first place?
It is, but this is going to take a multifaceted approach. In fact, part of the research under Phantom is to look at how can hardware assist in the security of the hypervisor. Things like virtual machine attestation or things like trusted platform modules to ensure the integrity of the system, mandatory access controls, auditing and tracing of do you know which servers are there. Sometimes the scariest server is the one you didn't know you had. You make an excellent point, though, about patching. Some of the functionality that's beneficial in virtualization is the ability to pause or disable or suspend these images for periods of time. They may be offline for quite some time, stay unpatched, come online, and be confronted with several exploits that are attacking things that it has yet to have been patched on. So the fluid and dynamic nature is a blessing and a curse of the virtual world. So we have physical server sprawl, we're going to encounter virtual sprawl. So a very large part of our thought leadership when we speak on virtualization security, which is also, the awareness is also part of the Phantom Project, a very large part is talking about sound policies and sound practices and sound discipline around when to use virtualization, how to design it, how to ensure it doesn't get out of control, how do you trace a virtual server. And we have to also anticipate that audits and regulatory evolutions are going to change. So we may know how to obtain PCI compliance on physical servers. What's the impact of going virtual?
I think there was a discussion about this, and maybe not at an RSA session, but at other conferences, people saying, well, if I'm PCI compliant, for example, when I install a virtual server, am I still PCI compliant? How does that...
I think the answer is it'll depend, but it needs reassessment. The biggest issue is it's a new platform. In some cases, it's nascent. In other cases, it's not. IBM invented virtualization over 40 years ago with LPAR. So we have, it's not brand new, but as we embrace these new platforms, some of the platforms are nascent. They will have bugs. They will mature. I actually see this as an opportunity. So right now, we may be reducing our security posture, but the platform itself, and since it's such an important part of infrastructure that we're certainly going to move to for the financial incentives, it's a chance to really bake security in right from the beginning this time. And there are actually, from our research perspective in X-Source, we believe we can actually raise the overall security posture above the par that we've seen in physical servers.
How long before we start seeing products come out of this research?
Yeah, I think we're already seeing some of them, and they will be announced over time. Some things will be best practices. The conference sessions that we gave today, the conference sessions we'll be doing at future conferences to raise awareness on best practices. What are the issues? What
do you need? But how about specific products?
Well, as some of these platforms finalize their APIs, we're lockstep with these, so we will be releasing security for the various platforms. We already provide protection for the guest OSs through our host intrusion prevention products. We already provide virtual form factor for our mail security appliance to live inside of virtual environments, and we'll continue to do so. So as we can get better integrations into the platforms themselves for more efficiency and better protection, that'll come out lockstep with the platform evolutions.
And now the news. Former LendingTree employees are in hot water for apparently sharing their passwords with unapproved lenders. LendingTree announced to customers that it experienced a data breach recently. The online mortgage exchange vendor said the former employees' passwords were still active and were used by unapproved lenders to tap into a customer database. The breach data includes names, addresses, email addresses, telephone numbers, social security numbers, and income and employment information. LendingTree said the breach took place between October 2006 and early 2008. Experts and analysts said the breach was likely the result of a breakdown in policy and the company's user provisioning system. Companies should conduct an identity audit process to discover orphaned passwords. In other news, a new method for exploiting a common problem in software code that was previously thought to be difficult to attack is now generating a wave of concern in the security community. Mark Dowd, a researcher on IBM's ISS X-Force team, said the new technique can be used to reliably exploit null pointer differences. It's a very common condition in many applications. The condition occurs when an application tries to access a location in memory that has nothing in it. That results in it returning a value of null. Programs usually crash when this happens, but Dowd has found a way to exploit the condition. And once the condition is exploited, an attacker has the ability to control where in memory the application writes to. Dowd's paper, published earlier this month, deals specifically with a recent flaw that IBM ISS discovered in the Flash player. But Dowd says an attack should work on both Firefox and Internet Explorer, and Windows Vista is also not immune. Well, that ends this edition of Security Wire Weekly. Be sure to check out our previous podcast by going to our podcast landing page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. And as always, you can get the latest news and information at our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. For now, I'm Rob Westerveld. Have a great day.